Hello. Have another treat for you this week. Actually, it's going to be played in part one and part two. Part one is this week, and this is an interview with Becky Markley, and she's a projector, and you should see her chart below. So I hope you enjoy. This is Becky is a projector, and she's talking about all the ins and outs of what it's like to be a projector. She's splenic. Her inner authority is her spleen. And so she's got a lot of good things for all of us to hear about. Becky is a analyst and a teacher, and she's actively teaching the Living Your Design program. Enjoy.
So anyway, Becky is here, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to her. And I have some questions to ask you, Becky, but before I do that, I just would like to have you introduce yourself and talk to us a little bit about, you know, what it has meant to you to come into human design as a projector. And then when you run out of things to say, I'll ask you questions because I know that works really well for you. Thank you so much for being here.
Ooh, my pleasure. So special hello to Don and Inga. Hello. And to all the rest of you. Well, I was actually invited to human design by a doctor that I was working for. And she said to me, oh, you like that astrology stuff here. And she handed me Kathy Kinnaird's brochure. And that was a little over 4 years ago. And so I knew Kathy, but not in the human design sense. And so I contacted her for a reading, and it was actually 4 years ago today that I had my first reading from Kathy. And it was amazing. It resonated so deeply in me when I studied before I got my reading. She's emotional, so she wasn't available for a month. And so I went out to Human Design America, and when I read about projectors, just something inside of me resonated very, very deeply, and I just went, oh, thank goodness. There really isn't anything wrong with me. And this, I was working in corporate America at the time for a big company, and the chicken with the head cut off syndrome, you know, do any of you recognize that? Just running around trying to do all these things, and you can see all my openness that I was really in a hurry and I didn't know when to stop. And to realize that there really wasn't anything wrong with me, and the really kind of odd thing was that I felt more like myself when I was sick and when I had to just sit down and rest. And I, not that I liked being sick, but just that energy, I could really recognize that. And it felt oddly natural to me. And so I've always loved studying other people. How many of you in here are projectors? If you can just type it in, I'm just curious. You know, like I studied the Myers-Briggs type indicator, and I studied handwriting analysis and, you know, all kinds of other things, but the human design system really nails it. And so I was sucked in, and I really have enjoyed it immensely since then. I've studied constantly since that first day at Human Design America a little over 4 years ago. And I was on the fast track before the way of becoming an analyst was expanded. So I was able to get certified fairly quickly and took the LYD class from Raw a couple of years ago, and then took Linda's class last year as a, kind of refamiliarize myself with it, because I hadn't taught it. I hadn't gotten invited. And frankly, I was scared. You know, I've taught lots of things in the past, but I'm not very good at starting things. You can see I don't have the 53rd gate, so I need someone to push me. And the way that I got into it was Kathy Kinnaird and I kind of back-chatted in this class, as a matter of fact, and said, you know, would you like to teach together? And she says, oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yes, yes. So Kathy and I taught a couple of classes together starting last fall. And then I invited Colleen Davignon, who is an analyst, a projector in Hawaii, and she flew over here and co-taught a class with me in January. And so that's where I'm at right now. I have a bunch of projectors who would like to have an online group, education group. They don't necessarily want to become analysts, but they just want to learn how. And I don't have a start button, so I haven't gotten that going yet, but I'm working on it. So anyhow, that's my spiel for the moment.
Thanks, Becky. That was great. So so I'm curious, like, what was it that you heard about, or you can name several things if you want to, of course, but what kind of comes to you, what was it that you heard about your design that really impacted you or shocked you or initiated you or whatever, but what was it exactly?
Well, it wasn't the definition. It was really the openness, and it was also one of the things that was a big aha is when Kathy told me that people compete around me. And I went, oh, that's why those people are always competing with me at work. It just explained so much. And like I mentioned before, the openness, being in a hurry and not knowing when enough is enough, and taking in the emotional wave. I mean, I thought I was emotional, like most open emotional people think they are. That I was amplifying my daughter, who's a 40-37, and oh my, what a wave that is. Those were the really big ones. And really, it's all, you know, the open head ajna, taking all this stuff in, my mind just going on and on and on and on and on. That was amazing. And how I have trouble remembering things and try to hold on to things, and the things I'm sure you're teaching, you know, just explaining why I always feel like I have to be certain so that I don't feel like a fool. Those are really the big things. The definition I have wasn't that big a deal. I mean, that was things that have attracted people all this time, and things that at least the 1648 I already knew about. So,
how does that feel when your spleen, you know, I always find people that have splenic authority so fascinating, because I don't. So how does that, what does it feel like when your authority speaks to you? I guess it happens spontaneously, you know. You never know when it's going to come, right? If you could just kind of describe what it feels like, or what, do you get a body sensation, or what is it?
Sometimes it's a very powerful, strong body sensation. For example, the doctor that I work for, she had a new partner, and as soon as that person walked in the door, I got this huge voice in my head that said, no. No, no, no. And it was physical and it was verbal. And so the message I got was to stay away from this person. Don't become their friend. Don't initiate anything with them. Don't talk to them. And I didn't. And I don't know why. I don't know what would have happened. But I stayed away from that person. So sometimes it's a big physical feeling. And sometimes it is very, very hard to sense, because, you know, the conditioning of the open root and the open sacral, I think, takes, well, about 3.5 years I started to notice a difference, a sense of peace, to where I could actually rest in life and notice when my spleen was talking to me. And, for instance, Linda, you already know about this, but when you emailed me and asked me if I'd come be a guest, I smiled. I mean, my face smiled, and my mind was going, oh my God, no. I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, I'll just look like an idiot. But I smiled, and I thought, okay, my body's the authority. The smile is the answer, and I can only take a smile to mean yes. And so that had never happened to me before. I'd never had noticed a smile before. So sometimes it's very earth-shaking. Sometimes my whole body vibrates. Sometimes I cannot even talk because I'm terrified. You know, it's the spleen vibrating, and it's very, very powerful when it's a huge no. Sometimes I've gotten little voices in my head that don't make any sense to me. And one example is, I had gotten divorced, bought a new house, had my two teenage kids with me, and there was this little voice that kept saying, you're not going to stay here very long. And I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I had ever heard. I had absolutely no reason to move. But within a year and a half, I did. And I had a very good reason for moving. And it actually brought me closer to my invitation to human design. So I think getting to know the spleen has been the hardest thing for me to really sit back and be able to feel it and to hear it. That's been very, very difficult. It's taken a long time, and I think, well, taking every drop of the 7 years, I still have a long ways to go.
Yeah, I would think that the open root, open sacral, open, you know, all the open centers basically are in competition and kind of like noisy. And the spleen speaks once, as Ra says, and softly, you typically, although you've gotten some loud messages, but it can be a subtle expression, the spleen, and then you've got all these open centers, so it's almost like the speakers are really loud, and you're trying to hear one little thing within all of that noise. That's kind of how I imagine it to be. Is that kind of true?
Yeah, it's kind of true, and it just kind of depends. Part of my design is to be extremely sensitive to sound, and so I stay away from places that are loud and noisy, and it's hard to tell if that's the spleen, but my body just withdraws and pulls away. I have a projector client who told me a couple of weeks ago that her spleen gives her a red light and a green light. So it's a visual image that she gets.
Oh, you reminded me of something that's really important, Becky, and that is that I think, you know, we're told what type and strategy means. You know, we're given that information. And, of course, we only have our own specific, unique design, which is very, very unique. So we can only, you know, we only know what that feels like. But still, you know, somebody who has splenic authority like Becky has, it's going to work for her in her way. You know, like her other projector client sees red light, green light. You know, Becky hears voices sometimes or impressions or whatever. It's really important that we don't tell people what it's going to be like for them, but to give them clues and hints about what it's like so that they can find their own way, they can find their own connection to it. Does that make sense? I mean, I just think it's so important. You know, my experience going through my emotional wave is going to be different than somebody else's process and Becky's connection with her authority, her spleen. It's obviously connected directly to the throat, and lots of splenic authorities don't even make it to the throat. So, you know, I just think it's really important that we honor and respect everybody's different processes. So, So wait, let me give you a question first. Or do you relate to that, I guess, is my first question, Becky?
That everybody's different? Yeah, I really do relate to that. And I think one of the fun things about teaching LYD is when you get to the spleen is to just ask people how they experience that. And some people in the class, you know, still haven't been able to differentiate it from all the other noise in their life. But some people have very, very interesting stories to tell. And I think it's, you know, just like watching generators and seeing how they respond. That when I ask my husband if he wants to go to a movie and he starts putting on his shoes, then I know it's a yes.
Is he a manifesting generator?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. So, what does it feel like to be recognized, and what does it mean to be recognized for a projector? You know, we hear this all the time, and those of us that aren't projectors, we can only imagine what it feels like or what it's supposed to be like or what it's supposed to mean, or how do we communicate this to projectors? How would you hear it, or how would you receive it from a guide or somebody doing your reading so that it made sense to you now that you've been doing this for a while?
Well, I think it's very splenic for me, and that when it's a correct recognition or a correct invitation, I describe it as being kind of this yippy-skippy, hippity-hop feeling inside. It's an excitement. It could include a little fear, but it's a true excitement. And when it's a false recognition, it falls like a deep thud in me, and I start rolling my eyes and thinking, oh my God, don't tell me I'm sexy, you know? My husband, parentheses. You know, I just, you can just recognize it when it's false, and you may not know exactly why, but it just lights me up when it's a true invitation or when it's true recognition. And I think that's why, you know, it makes you feel so good, and I think that's why it's a drug that projectors need to detox from as part of their 7-year process.
They need to detox from what?
From trying to get the recognition, from trying to wave the flag and do everything they can do to get people to notice them. I think that, you know, I tend to be kind of a modest person, but I can recognize this real, true, deep desire to be recognized, and that trying to get it doesn't work. And I think that at least the projector clients that come to me, they go out and try to get their recognition in so many different ways. And that's the very difficult thing to come off of. It's like a drug.
Just stopping that behavior. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So it's a real habit to break. Is the fear that if I don't try to get recognized, then I never will be?
That might be part of it, but it's also, well, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do? Sit around and watch Ellen and read books? You know, there's a real, let's see. One of the things that I recognized was why I felt so much better when I got around my friends. If I was feeling down, I would think, oh, I should just call one of my friends and get together with them and I'll feel better. And I recognized that now that was needing to get an energy fix. And so pushing the invitation to get together is like being addicted to a drug to get the energy.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. I see. Can you talk a little more about that? So what I heard you say is that there is like this energy addiction to getting energy from people. And so sort of like trying to initiate things and giving invitations so that you can connect with somebody so that you can sort of feed off their energy and is the hope that is it because you're hungry for the energy?
I think on an unconscious level that's true, that the natural projector energy, and I have been here, you know, during the daytime I'm here all by myself. There's no aura around me except my cat. And I have spent the past year and a half just being in my own aura to get a sense of what my own true energy is like. And it's very low. I'm a very, very low-key person when I'm by myself. And I don't enjoy that energy fix so much anymore. I don't like public environments. I don't like going to the movies. I don't like going to restaurants anymore. And my sensitivity has increased so much. And for a projector, you know, as you all know, it's about who you're with. You need to be with the right people. And I go off on tangents, but the last little thing is that I've noticed that since I've stopped initiating invitations, is that I have let go of what are probably the wrong people in my life. And I just let my fractal come to me and invite me to things, and it works much better. I have gotten rid of the IV of energy, so to speak. I've, you know, I call it detox because I've got that medical background, but that's really what it feels like. It takes a while to just rest back and feel like yourself, whatever that is.
Yeah, really interesting. I've heard people say, and I've actually felt this myself, that sometimes, like for, I don't know if it's just true for generators, but that's probably my example, that sometimes we feel drained by a projector. And I'm just wondering if that's because that's kind of a not-self connection that's happened and the projector sort of feeding off the generator energy or something like that. But, you know, I've heard that statement. Have you?
Yeah, I've heard that statement, and I have experienced it myself, and it, you know, it doesn't even have to be in aura. It can be on the phone. When a friend of mine calls, it's real. I'm never the one who says goodbye. You know, it's like I am sucking a teat off of them. You know, I'm sucking the milk off of them, so to speak. I'm sucking their energy because I feel like I don't have any of my own, which obviously I don't really, and I've got the ego power to stay on the phone until they tell me they have to go. I very rarely get off. It's hard for me to break that connection when I do have the energy.
Well, that's really, really fascinating, Becky. I appreciate you being so candid about that process, you know, that happens. That's really interesting.
Part of this 7-year process is trying to learn to differentiate between the blabbing of the mind and the spleen. And what I've come to recognize so far, and I'm certainly not an expert, but that the mind is a conversation that I have in my head. It's that I really should do this, and here's why I should do it, and should, and shoulds and coulds, and all that kind of stuff I know is my mind. And what I'm feeling more about the spleen is that it really is a physical response, and that a yes tends to be a comfortable feeling, and a no is when I start wiggling, like I stand up or I have to move, or it just feels uncomfortable in some way. And there's a lot of indecisiveness. And, you know, I have that 39th gate in my personality sun, which is an indecisive gate. My whole incarnation cross is individualism, indecisive. You don't know till you know. So sometimes it's just a knowing. It's just like it kind of comes on me as a feeling, and it kind of feels like I've been dunked in a hot tub. It's just this very, very warm, hot feeling. Sometimes that's what it feels like.
Okay, so this is the end of part one, and part two will be next week. And I just wanted to thank Becky again for allowing us to air this on the radio. And if you want to know more about Becky, you can go to her website, which is www.humandesignforyou.com. Thanks, and until next week.